You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
Hi, I'm Joe Heath.
I'm Tony Heath.
And this is the Watchathon of Rassilon.
Play the theme song.
Okay. Today, we're going to be talking about the third serial of the 12th season of Doctor Who, The Sontaran Experiment, which consists of only two episodes that aired from February 22nd, 1975 to March 1st, 1975.
True facts!
And I'd like to give a special shout out to Ian McLean, whose name we've been mispronouncing for a while.
So sorry.
Thank you for getting us this DVD.
Yes, thank you. And then watching it with us.
Yeah, you watched it with us too.
What
that
a,
was fun.
What a fun good time we all had.
Yeah, thanks for doing that. You friend of Rassilon. You can probably find him on the internet. I don't think he's linked to anything on our website. I don't think he wanted to be linked to anything. He just wanted his name. I think his Twitter's private.
She's a secret friend of Rassilon.
Very secret.
We don't have to pet it out that much.
Speaking of friends of Rassilon, I'd like to give a special shout out to our newest Patreon patron.
Who is it?
Ben Cowdell. I hope I pronounced that right.
If you didn't, it's all entirely on you.
I'm just assuming it rhymes with cowbell. Cowdell. Dude, you're getting a Cowdell. That's an old reference.
What a terrible shout out.
I'm so sorry. He has his own podcast. I think it's now, it's over now, I think. But you can go listen to the archive. It's Doctor Who 50 years ago. I don't know. I assume it's a Star Trek podcast.
Yeah, that makes sense. That tracks.
He actually joined us while we were watching this episode. It was really cool. And nice hanging out with you. And thanks again for being a patron, Ben Cowdell.
Thank you so much. Everybody else, go check out his stuff. Because that's what friends do. They watch each other's. They watch and listen to each other's stuff. Whether they want to or not. Friends.
So what's up?
You know, I've just been living my life. You know what's up. Because you're literally with me every moment of the day.
No, I'm only with you during this 2-hour recording block. That's the only time we're allowed to be together by state law.
That would be truly tragic.
That's why I try to pad it out as much as possible. Because I want to be able to spend as much time with you as I am legally allowed. This is a weird form of punishment. Yeah, not much going on.
We're planning on Hulanta.
Yeah.
Making some Hulanta plans. I don't know when this will air.
I don't really know either. Sometime in April.
Will Hulanta have already happened?
No, it will not have happened.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure. Maybe it will. Hulanta, though, if it is happening,
what's
we'll
up,
be there.
Hulanta?
I mean, it hasn't been 100% confirmed, but I've been talking to the director of the festival about us doing a screening and a podcast. Screening of Tank Girl and a podcast where we talk about Tank Girl. You may be saying,
which I've never seen.
What the hell does that have to do with Doctor Who? Not much. But no, it's directed by Rachel Talalay. Or Talalay. Not sure how that's pronounced.
Oh, you better figure it out before we go to the con.
Yeah, I should just like YouTube it or something. But she directed Tank Girl, and she directed, I think, all of the finales of The 12th Doctor.
Oof.
Something like that.
Those were all excellent.
Yeah, I'm excited. I'm going to try to get my VHS copy of Tank Girl signed by her. That'd be pretty awesome.
That would be great.
Well, I'll save some of this stuff for plugs. Actually, the thing I wanted to plug will have already happened by this time this comes off. I would have been in a film festival at this point. I hope it went well.
I bet it was great.
I'm sure you all loved it. Thank you for coming. If you are listening to this podcast because you saw me at the Chattanooga Film Festival.
What's up?
Hi. Sorry, we're so rambly.
Oh, I just figured you were going to edit this a lot.
No, this is all unedited, uncut, uncensored, unrehearsed, ungood.
We have been guesting on some other podcasts.
That's true. Those probably won't be up for a while. But
oh, no?
No, he's got like a backlog he has to get through. But we'll be on the 42 cast eventually. I've been on 3 episodes so far. Tony's been on 1 of those. None of them have gone up yet. But I will be talking about the Inhumans. Spoilers, it's bad. I've been talking about the Runaways. Spoilers, it's okay. It's pretty good. And Tony and I both talked about The Tick.
Spoilers, it's one of the best things to ever exist.
In any medium format or whatever.
What have you. However it exists, it is pure and good.
Keep an eye out for those. 42cast.com.
Now they already know our opinions.
But we go more into depth.
You want to talk about Doctor Who?
Yeah, why not? Let's do it. Let's get into it. All right, here we go. The Santarin experiment.
I swear, when it's just the two of us, it's like we forget how this functions.
Well, it's the thing is, we generally have someone like we work as a unit.
Yeah.
And bounce off the other person, but when it's
just
us,
we gotta do like the opening banter, and we're like, I don't know.
Hey, you.
It's like talking to yourself.
I do that a lot, and even when I'm talking to you, it feels like I'm talking to myself. Hey!
I don't know what that means or why you just made that sound.
Yo. It means you don't listen to me.
What?
Anyway, the Santarin experiment, episode 1, which I have called Space Hobo with a Shotgun.
Ooh, I'm partial to that one.
So, before we dive into this episode...
It's too late, I've already dove in.
I'm still editing the last podcast we did, which is the Ark in Space, and in it, I'm like, what if Harry Sullivan doesn't have shoes for the rest of the... That'd be awesome. While making GIFs for that serial, he puts on new boots at the very end of the episode.
That is kind of a bummer. I would have loved to have him run around for like a whole season without shoes.
That would be pretty great, but no, he puts on some boots. Though, sometimes it looks like boots and sometimes it looks like just shoes, depending on the shot. I'm not sure if he forgot to put on his boots for some shots or something. I'm not sure.
I never saw it, and I feel...
Well, the thing is, I know he for sure put on boots in the last episode, last serial. And then there was an episode in this one where I saw him wearing the boots, and then in one shot, I saw his socks. So look for that minor gaffe, humble viewers.
Wow, you're gonna be one of them, huh?
Mistake! If we pointed out all of the, like, errors and mistakes in Doctor Who...
I don't notice them. There was a thing where, like, Ben Patton was on and he was like, his arm just straight up disappears. And I did not notice it until we rewatched it. And I was like, well, yep. Shit! He loses a whole appendage. Didn't notice. So that tells you how, like, deeply I'm attuned to things while I'm watching.
You just get lost in the story.
Yeah, I'm real wrapped up in the narrative.
Episode 1. There are... I put gloves, but I meant to put globes. There are tiny globes.
Yes.
They look like globes. They're not supposed to be globes, but they look like...
They're spheres.
They're spheres, but they look like they have little planets and shit on them.
They're
planets, continents.
They're probably globes that are just lightly spray painted.
Yeah, and they're in a circle, and the Doctor appears, because in the last serial, they transmatted down instead of... There's no TARDIS in this episode.
Do you know how, like, we've talked before about how I don't retain things? For, like, the last couple of episodes we've started watching, and I've been like, 4! Not only that, but this one directly follows the one before, and for, like, 5-10 minutes, I was like, how come they got to this planet by Transmana, not by the TARDIS? And it took so long for me to be like, this directly follows the one we watched before it. He's on Earth to fix the things. I forgot. I forgot all of that information. And it took time for me to remember, because my brain doesn't hold information.
This serial actually almost did not exist. The previous serial, The Ark in Space, was originally intended to be a 6-parter. Robert Holmes, who is script editor or whatever, showrunner, whatever you want to call it, at the time, was like, I don't like 6-parters. I feel like they are padded out. Hey, buddy,
you're not wrong.
And he was like, how about we take the 6-parter, break it into 4, you know, move it down to 4, and then have a 2-parter, because it's too long.
So was this part of the story, and they were like, that's just its own thing, or...
No, they came up with a completely different story, and part of the idea was like, we'll just do a 2-parter set entirely on location, and we'll have like a monster that we already have available. They're like, we'll do the Santarns, because we got a Santarn.
We said one that they
already... But they redid the makeup, so it was like pointless anyway.
That's what I was going to say. The Santarn looks very different. He's got really high cheekbones, for one, and he's a little bit less hairy.
He's smoother.
Yeah. I think it's kind of funny that Sarah Jane's like, you look exactly the same. And it's like, no, you don't.
You look identical, because she's a racist.
Because she can't tell the difference. They all look the same to her.
But yeah, that's how that all came to be. But we haven't had a two-parter since Edge of Destruction, I think.
A favorite of mine.
We have had a one-parter, but...
So this was all shot on location.
Yes. The previous one was solely on sets.
On film, right?
Right. It was not on film. It was on video.
I thought... Weren't they all on video? I thought only one of them was on film, and that's why it, like, exists.
Well, if a lot of... It's on video and film. If it's, like, outdoors, it's film.
Oh.
But, like, Spearhead from Space was entirely on film. But most are a mix.
If it's outdoors, it was film?
If it's on location, it's on film.
Oh, I guess that makes sense. But my point was going to be that, like, it definitely has, like, a very handheld feel, the serial does. And it's nice.
Yeah.
It's fun and different. And it gives it a different feeling than any serial we've had so far.
I guess.
In a while, anyway.
Yeah. I guess film cameras and stuff were more portable, I guess? And video stuff was mostly just in sets. I guess. I don't know. But that's actually was the norm for, was if you're on location film, if you're on a set video. There's like a whole Monty Python sketch about it, I'm pretty sure. But this was on location entirely on video.
Seemed very nice too. Future Earth, right?
Yeah.
Like super, super future Earth. It's very peaceful. Nobody's lived on there for thousands of years. Just seems like a good place to take a nap.
Apparently they film here a lot. It's Dartmoor. I don't know. Apparently it gets used a lot. Because it's cheap, probably.
Cheap and nearby.
The Doctor appears amongst these circle of globes. Harry follows shortly thereafter, but like he's having a hard time tuning in. He just sort of fades in and out, and then he finally shows up, and then the doctor's like, oh, good, you're here, so that's good. And he just starts messing with the globe, and Harry Sullivan's like, but what about Sarah Jane? And he's like, oh, yeah, I forgot her. And she appears upside down. She's wearing the same outfit she wore at the end of the last serial, because she changed as well, but she's got a yellow slicker.
Oh, my God, thing. It's so cute. She's got a yellow slicker and a little hat.
Sarah Jane's upside down. Harry goes and pulls her up, and then she comes over and is trying to get the doctor's attention and is just being absolutely adorable. She, like, flips her beanie down in front of her face. The doctor, he's too engrossed.
He's tinkering.
He's busy with his globes. So he's like, I'm going to futz with this. You guys can go explore. Trafalgar Square is that way. Because you're in the future and everything's grass now. So they go off. Sarah Jane sees something. Do we ever learn what that something she saw was, now that I'm thinking about it?
I assume it's just one of the men who are there for the Centauran or the robot. One of those things. I don't remember, but I assume it's one of those three things that are in this story.
She sees something, though, and Harry is quick to be like, nope.
No, you don't. So we're back on this.
Harry just had it happen to him last serial, and now he's doing it to Sarah.
It's just so silly to me, because, like, most of all, I think it's really frustrating because it just takes up time. Where you're like, of course you saw a monster. Like,
this is Doctor Who.
Yeah. This is literally what happened yesterday. Of course, this isn't even yesterday. This is just later that very same day.
But the doctor, meanwhile, is in the scopes of a gun held by what I call the space hobos. They look like hobos
from space.
Yeah. They've got like little astronaut outfits on. No, like helmets or anything. But they're like very grimy and dirty and beardy and...
Beardy?
I don't know if they have beards, but they're definitely grimy and dirty. And
they look like they've been stuck there for a while, because they have.
I think most of them are from South Africa. That was like a deliberate casting choice, too. Hmm. They specifically wanted South Africans, because they wanted the language to be, like, they figured it would be like a mix of it, I guess. I don't know. Still just white dudes. But
can't make all our progress at once.
They have this thing, instead of saying yes, they say check.
I liked that a lot.
I'm wondering if that's a South African thing, maybe. I don't know. Could be. Who knows? One of these space hobos is a double for the doctor at one point.
Is he?
Yeah, we'll get to that. I'll explain more of that when it happens, because I studied on this one, you guys. But Harry falls in a hole.
Like, immediately.
It's a big hole, too. Like, it was they say, like, oh, it was covered up, and it was definitely a trap. But it is a big-ass hole.
It's not a great trap. But, I mean, it's pretty good, because it's still got Harry Sullivan.
So, one of the space hobos goes and tells another space hobo at home, Hobo Base. That they found this doctor person. The other one, the one that was left behind watching the doctor, suddenly sees Tony's favorite thing.
It's like this, I don't even know how to describe him. It's like a little spindly crab robot? How would you describe him?
I don't know. He's a robot. He's got, like, these weird guiding lines off the side of him.
I mean, it does seem like it was definitely something that was just sort of tugged along.
Yeah.
But it's easy enough to imagine that they're little spindly legs or something.
It's got little things coming out of its nostrils that clink together like a moving mustache.
Little mandible guys.
It chases one of the hobos, and he falls / kind of jumps off a cliff.
Yeah, he's doing a lot of work to fall off that cliff.
I think he was supposed to just run off of it and fall, but he climbs down and then jumps. It's very weird, but he's trying to get away from this robot.
I love this robot. I get excited anytime there's sort of any design that really sort of verges away from the robot we got and say robot, where it's just, you know, blocks, clamp arms, you got yourself a robot.
Yes, that's your standard robot. But, like, this one's not very humanoid looking, which I kind of prefer. Like, I was a big fan of the robots in Interstellar. Do you remember those things?
Oh my gosh, because those are great.
That was like puppeteering, too.
Was it?
Yeah, there was like green screen guys moving it around. I think it was partially CGI in some parts, but it was mostly puppets.
That's amazing.
Puppeteering, yeah. The doctor finds this guy that jumped off a cliff.
What always happens to the doctor? He's like, oh, hey, you okay? And then somebody else shows up and they're like, what? He killed Carl! And the doctor's like, no, I just found him like this, I swear. Why does this keep happening to me? His name's not Carl.
But Hobo Carl is dead.
Yes.
He broke his neck because he jumped off a cliff.
That's what happens.
So, but they take the doctor back to their hobo camp. Am I saying hobo too much?
Yeah.
Oh, they shoot the doctor. They shoot him unconscious, and then they take him back to the camp.
I like the way they shoot him unconscious.
Well, it's just like a stun gun. Because they shoot him, but they don't kill him. Sarah Jane tries to find the doctor, but all she finds is his sonic screwdriver, because she's like, she can't get Harry out of the hole. But Harry gets himself out of the hole anyway. He finds...
Not right away.
No, but he found... Well, yeah, because like some rocks fall on him first. And he's like, oh, I gotta get away. And then he ducks into a crevice and is like, oh, I can just get out. It's not that great of a trap if there's an exit. So Sarah Jane goes back to the hole to be like, I couldn't find the doctor. And then she's like, oh, now I can't find Harry. Where the fuck is everyone going?
They've all gotten separated.
And we get this like horror movie shot of like a POV behind her.
I thought that was great. There's like a hand slowly reaches out for her and grabs her and then pulls back and you see the person grabbing her.
This one is the only hobo's name I know. It's Roth. His distinctive characteristic is paranoia. Justified. But yeah, he grabs Sarah Jane, but it's just to get her out of the path of the robot, because the robot comes... I guess its regular patrol goes and checks the whole trap.
Roth basically says that he's been captured and tortured
by an alien,
and he's the only one so far who's managed to get away.
He even shows like this really nasty burn he's got on his arm. Meanwhile, the other space guys are interrogating the doctor, and he's like, I came down from the transmat from the Nerva colony, and they're like, that's bullshit.
Nerva's not real. That's a fairy tale. Because it's basically a lost colony. Who we've been with for the last serial is just one colony from Earth. And since they overslept by, like, however many years.
Yeah, like 3,000, I don't know, something.
People just assumed that it was a story. It's long enough for them to have become legend. And there's a bunch of other people, human beings from Earth, who just didn't go to sleep. And they've basically created, like, a whole...
mythology around it?
Well, I was going to say that they have kind of an empire now, Earth empire.
And but also, like, the doctor is like, oh, so it's like it's a myth now, like Atlantis. He's been there twice.
At least twice.
But also, there's a great thing about it, because they don't believe him, because, like, he's like, Nerva colony's not real. And he's like, but you have heard of it. And they're like, well, yeah, but it's just a myth. It's a fairy tale. But later, they're all, like, talking amongst themselves about whether or not to believe the doctor. And one of them's like, I don't know, I think I believe him because it is a stupid story.
It's a really dumb lie. He could come up with something a lot more believable if he was covering.
Sarah Jane and Roth sort of show up, but like he's afraid, he doesn't want to be involved with them. Like he's afraid that they're going to get him back with the alien. Because it does kind of turn out one of them is sort of a traitor, but...
He has seen him, Roth has. Their leader, whose name I don't remember, because again, I also only remember Roth's name. But he said that he's seen the leader with the alien, and he knows, basically, that he's not on the up and up, and so he doesn't want to go back.
I missed part of that while watching it, but it makes sense.
You missed it.
I just thought he was being paranoid and... No,
he saw him.
Oh, okay. Plot stuff happened and I missed it.
How could you have missed it, man? It's two episodes.
I know. Well, I don't know how we get to my next note, but my next note just says, Doctor loves clocks.
They ask him what, like, his expertise is, and he's like, time. Clocks. He just goes on a list of all the different clocks that he likes. They're like trying to, you know, interrogate him and stuff, and he just keeps listing the different types of clocks.
Atomic clocks.
And at the very end, someone's trying to interrupt him, and he just goes, cuckoo. I was trying to think of, like, types of clocks to list, and I could only think of cuckoo. His grandfather.
Oh, I mean, like, atomic.
Small pocket watches. Cuckoo.
They sort of fill him in on their backstory, which is that they landed here to answer a distress call, but were basically stranded because of the alien and everything. And there was 9 of them originally, and now we're down to like 3 or 4, something like that.
Oh, more like 4 or 5.
Yeah. I don't think there's 5.
Okay, 4.
Maybe 3.
There's definitely more than 3.
Well, are we counting Roth?
Yeah.
Okay, but like the daughter doesn't see. The Roth isn't part of this group.
Okay, so there's 3, but 4 total.
Maybe 4. 5?
You know what? Maybe there's just like 12 of them.
Well, that's more than they started with. We're a very informative podcast. So the doctor was like, well, hey, I'll help you guys escape and get off this planet. And they're kind of like, no thanks. We don't trust you.
We don't believe you. And transmats make me feel queasy.
Then they proceed to be really stupid. Roth shows up. And he's like, oh, I'm over here. And they're like, Roth, go get him. He's got to be part of our team. Like, they chase him down, like, which is dumb. A, dumb, because, like, they're not out to get Roth, but they run at him screaming, basically. And also, B, they're dumb. Every single one of them goes after Roth, leaving the doctor alone. Sure, the doctor is restrained.
But come on. That's not going to stop him. We all know better.
Also, during this whole sort of exposition-y scene about, like, why they're there and everything, you just see, like, Sarah Jane behind, like, a boulder, like, peeking her head up every once in a while.
And she's in that bright yellow slicker, so she just pops, and you're like, oh, Sarah Jane's back there. Cute.
After they run off after Roth, she comes out of hiding and...
sets the doctor free.
Sets him free. Breaks him out. The other guys lose Roth, and they're like, aw, shucks. And then they go back, and the doctor's gone, and they're like, aw, shucks!
They just cannot win today.
But the doctor teams up with Roth and Sarah Jane and gets his sonic back, and they go to the hole that Harry fell in. The doctor looks around it and is examining it and says some, you know, stuff he's figured out. I think he's, like, aware of the robot. The ground's got this oil and that's weird. And then he's like, I'm going to try climbing down this hole. He falls down the hole.
No, listen. You did not appropriately explain the amazing setup to the doctor falling in the hole. Which is, the doctor's leaning over and he's like, yeah, I'm going to climb down there. I'm just going to climb down there because I think there's like a way out. I'm just going to climb down there and see if I can find him. And Sarah Jane's like, don't be careful. What are you doing? He's like, it's fine. Quit worrying. And Sarah Jane's like, no, listen, be careful. You're going to fall. And he's like, I'm not gonna. And then like topples into it as he's saying that he's not going to fall. It's pretty great.
As soon as he does, the robot shows up and captures Sarah Jane and Roth. I don't think we see it's how it captures them at this point. I don't think we see that until it captures the other guys. But
it's got some pretty sweet capture mechanisms.
We'll go ahead and say it like throws like these like weird little
ropes.
Cables.
It's got, yeah, little cables. Is that reversed?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's around them and they just pull it off and then they reverse the footage. But it looks cool.
I'm always so impressed by reverse footage, to be perfectly honest. I'm like, anytime
it's very effective.
Anytime I see it, I'm like, ooh, look at that. They just did magic. Just straight up magic. Would you look at that?
We haven't really talked about this any at all because nothing really happened. But Harry Sullivan's just been sort of wandering around.
He does that. Harry Sullivan just sort of forgets to be in serial sometimes.
This is a two-parter and he forgets to be in it. But he eventually makes his way to a giant silver golf ball. And he gets there around the same time that the robot brings Sarah Jane and Roth to the giant silver golf ball. which opens up revealing Mr. Potato Head.
Do you know what's great about this?
What?
It just follows the convention of, like, the title being, like, name of monster, whatever, of death, however it's titled, and then waiting to, like, the end of the episode to be like, it's a Suntaran!
What? Oh my god!
Surprise!
It even does the thing, because we didn't mention it because it was such a brief blip, but when the doctor is with the hobos, like, earlier, they, like, show him to something. And it's a camera that the Suntaran is watching, and you just see his hand press some buttons, but, like, all you see is his hand, and it's like, we know what it is!
I'm almost just impressed that they managed to fit this in such a small two-parter. That they managed to stick to that convention. They're not just like, oh, it's only two episodes. We better, like, really establish him early on. It's like, no, this is Doctor Who, and that's not how we do things.
But that is the end of episode one. And the cliffhanger is the Suntaran you already knew about. Who, by the way, is played by Kevin Lindsay. This Suntaran's name, by the way, is Steyr, we'll learn. He's played by the same guy who played Lynx in the previous Suntaran episode, Kevin Lindsay, who also played Choji, who also was the, I guess, I forget the name of the other guy, but the Time Lord.
Yes, the Hermit.
Yeah, that is the same guy. He had a bit of a heart condition. The first time he did the Suntaran, it was way too hot, and he's like, we got to do it better this time, I guess. That's why they redesigned it a bit. But it was still hot, on location, not great for his heart, and he died not too long after this serial.
Jeez.
A few months, I think, something like that.
That always stresses me out
so
bad.
What I'm saying is Doctor Who killed him.
No, for real? It stresses me out so bad to hear things like that where it's like, oh yeah, someone so-and-so had like a terrible allergic reaction to it and almost died. And especially in like the older stuff, because like people just be like, it's fine. Like, sure, I almost died, but like that's just how it happens. And it's like, it's just a movie or it's just a TV show. Like, it's not so serious. Nobody... Don't be taking such outrageous risks with, like, your health. Like, I hate stories like that. They stress me out so bad. Everyone practice safety, okay?
But
don't have a heart attack because you're wearing a potato head. I'm so upset.
There's not a whole lot going on in this episode. They have to shove most of it in this next episode.
Yeah. I will say,
it's not
a little
bad.
Bit about the Suntaran. His mouth is both better and worse. It moves a lot better,
uh-huh.
And it looks more like a mouth, but it also looks like a big puppety puppet mouth.
He still does the lick thing.
He does, and I hate it. Oh, I hate it so much. I mean, I guess we've established it as just like a thing that Suntarans do, but it weirds me out.
I was watching a making of thing, and apparently Robert Holmes had a lot of like, I think it was Robert Holmes, had a lot of like backstory in his head about how the Suntaran race worked, and was telling the writers of this serial about it, and like to the point where they're like, please stop, you're telling us too much, including how they procreate.
Oh, please do tell.
Through the hole in their neck.
What about the hole in their neck?
I think you fuck it. I'm not sure.
Who fucks it?
That's the thing, though. Aren't they all clones? But why would he be talking about, like, how they have sex? Like, they don't need to.
Are you sure you
Maybe as they come... No, I don't know. That it was in the making of, and they were like, he got down to that level of it. And they were like, we don't need to know that. We don't need to know. He's, like, talking about how, like... Maybe their offspring come out of the hole in the neck, or they fuck the hole in the neck. I don't remember. Either way.
I feel like you didn't actually listen or remember.
Maybe it was
feel like you're just making crazy shit
I'll
up.
I'll play the clip for you.
I would prefer you to, because I don't trust the things. You're being very vague. Maybe they have sex with it. Maybe they birth babies out of it. I don't know. I don't think you know what you're talking about.
Well, no.
I think you're talking nonsense.
To be fair, the guy who was talking about it was like, he was saying shit like this, and I was like, oh, I don't care. So he was like, I don't know what he was talking about. I was just like, too much.
Too much.
TMI.
They're just clones, though.
I know. So
there's no TMI to be had there.
But there was definitely something sexual about the hole in their necks. That's all I'm saying.
If you say so.
So, episode two. We're into it.
The last episode. We're almost done.
Which I have called Tire Steyr.
Okay.
Because that's the point, right?
Yeah.
They have to tire out Steyr.
Yeah.
Here's something that bugged me.
Starr immediately goes up to Sarah Jane and is like, the female.
I thought they had difficulty with that.
Maybe he's really good at it. Maybe he's you know what? He's a scientist. He's been researching humans. He's put some, like, real effort into this.
I guess. But Sarah Jane thinks it's Lynx because they look identical, which they don't.
Pretty much immediately, he just straight up murders Roth. And I was like, he's the only one whose name I knew.
You can't murder Roth. Now we'll have to figure out other characters' names.
Spoilers, I did not. But she's like, wow, why, how could you do, why would you do that? And I think he's already mentioned maybe at this point that he's doing experiments. And she's like, he could have been useful or whatever. And he's like, nah, ladies are more interesting. Gross. Meanwhile, though, the space hobos have found the doctor. I don't know, do they get the doctor? Oh, no, they find him in the hole. And meanwhile, Harry has wandered away to somewhere else, a different hole, and has found a guy tied up, chained to...
just a cliff, like a rocky cliffside.
Yeah, again, there's nothing in this serial that's set indoors anywhere. Even, like, when Styre will occasionally do, like, call into home base, like, to the other Sontarans, he always does that outside the ship, on, like, this little thing outside the ship. But he's one of the astronauts that's been... captured by Styre, and Styre is basically torturing him.
He's trying to see how long a human person can last without food or water. I think later he's kind of giving, like, dictating notes into whatever device he has, and he's like, yeah, it seems they have a dependence on organic energy source. They gotta eat shit to stay alive.
But Harry gave him some water. He, like, shoved some napkins in his mouth soaked in water.
Yeah.
Because that didn't help. Harry probably should have stayed with this guy. Instead, he kind of he wanders off again and lets him die.
I mean, I wouldn't say that, like, I wouldn't put that all on Harry Sullivan. I mean, he goes and he gives the guy water and he goes to get him help. And while he's going to get him help, because he goes to find the doctor and Sarah Jane, knowing this is the kind of thing the doctor is good at. And while he's gone, the prisoner dies.
So the other astronaut guys, whatever they are trying to capture the doctor, but they get interrupted by the robot. Okay, they start shooting at the robot. There's no music. It's very light, very, very light beep, 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 beep noises as they're shooting. It's like a very ineffective scene. There's no sense of anything.
There's also no real effect when the guns fire. Like, they light up, the tips of the guns light up, but there's no, like, overlay or, like, little zap beams.
It's just, it lights up and goes, beep. There's no, like, da-da-da-da-da music, nothing. Just, beep. And then the robot shoots its little cable things around them. That's actually really cool.
Yeah, that works.
And the doctor takes this opportunity to find the same little exit that Harry did and gets out. Styre, meanwhile, has put a sticker on Sarah Jane's forehead and tied her up and asks her some questions.
He's going to test to see how she holds up to fear.
Which she's like, I'm going to turn it on, and then leaves. He's not going to stick around to watch it. He just leaves because Harry is, like, moving around and he has, like, a giant stick.
He picks up the giant stick, like, really early on and carries it around for ages.
And does nothing with it. I kept going, like, is Harry going to be a badass? Is Harry going to be a badass? No.
He's just going to carry a stick around with him for, like, 30 minutes.
Because he sees Styre and he just backs up and hides. But then he finds Sarah Jane. Sarah Jane's like, hey, help me. And he's like, okay. And he walks up to her and, like, he mimes.
There's a force field.
But he's doing the stuck in a box. And Sarah Jane's like, this is no time for mime. But
that doesn't happen.
She says that. I'm pretty sure. Oh, now you're a mime too? I knew I hated you. Why do people hate mimes?
There's just so much hate in the world. Who knows?
This is when I thought he was going to be a badass. Because he's like, he leaves. Because he's like, I'm going to go find Styre and knock his head off and take his keys. He does not. He does nothing. He just wanders around from place to place thinking he's the action hero, but doesn't do anything. He is Kurt Russell's character from Big Trouble in Little China. Jack Burton, but, like, less cool. Because Jack Burton's still kind of cool. Harry Sullivan's
an imbecile.
So, Styre reports in to himself. It's just the same guy. Same outfit and everything, just on a screen. And says that he's got a few things he's got to wrap up here, and then they should be good to go. Which is basically what they're going to do is they're waiting for his data, and then based on that, they're going to invade from his titular experiments. And we find out that he was the one who sent out the distress call to lure them there. Then Sarah Jane sees a really shitty looking snake that still managed to scare me.
You were terrified of it.
I was. I wasn't expecting it. It does not look good. But I was still like, nah!
It looks kind of like a puppet. A little rubbery.
I just don't like snakes or things that open their mouths.
We've been walking before and he'll just stop and he'll be like, is that a snake or is that a stick? Is that a snake or is that a stick? I'm like, it's a stick.
One time it was a snake.
Yeah, it was a snake one time. Actually, the time that it was a snake, you almost like stepped on it. And I was like, that's a snake. And you were like, no. Like by the time I had finished saying the word snake, you were on the other side of the field we were standing in.
It was right next near our house. That thing's near us. No, thank you. I know snakes aren't all bad, but I don't know which ones are good or which one's bad. And I just want them to stay to themselves. Because where I grew up, there used to be rattlesnakes.
See, that's totally fair. I grew up, there was like little, is it gardener snake?
Sure.
Is that what it's called? That's all there was.
Yeah.
Those are just tiny little friends.
Where I lived, things would kill you. No, sir. Anyway, that's pretty bad or whatever, but the next thing that happens to her is way worse.
Oh.
I don't even know what it is.
I don't even know how to describe it. It's
like a mudslide of gross shit.
This like pulsating goop starts devouring her. Ugh.
Yeah, it like slides up her arms and legs and it's like glooping. Ugh.
I did not, as much as Joe didn't care for the snake, I hated this part. It was awful. Eventually the doctor shows up and is like, Sarah, it's all in your mind.
And he sonics a little vent that's on the side of the...
But I'd have been like, nope, too late. I'm surrendering to fear. This is disgusting and I've died now.
He removes the sticker and she passes out, right?
Yeah.
And then Steyer shows up and karate chops the doctor. And he falls down and breaks his collarbone. True story.
I'm so stressed out about the cereal.
If you notice, his arm is like in his pocket a lot. And his scarf is wrapped up around him in a specific way because he's wearing a brace.
Oh my gosh.
It's hiding the brace.
I can almost kind of tell because like when he gets back up and he's making a face, I was like, that's a man who's in pain. Oh my gosh. Guys, be careful. I'm so stressed.
Fun fact, there's going to be a fight scene between him and Steyer coming up. And like 98% of it is not Tom Baker. It's his stunt double, which is actually not even his stunt double. It's just that guy.
Because his arm was broken?
Yeah.
And he couldn't do it?
Yeah.
Because
of his collarbone.
I mean his collarbone.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Not only that, Kevin Lindsay, who played Steyer, was getting too hot. So the actual stunt double was playing Steyer. So that fight scene is neither one of them.
Oh, no.
It's the stunt double that was the actual hobo who got ran over by...
Yeah.
Who was also the guy that dressed up like Joe and climbed the ladder in that weird way. Yeah. So that guy is playing Steyer, and one of the other astronaut hobo guys is playing the doctor.
Be careful, please.
They could have maybe like rewrote it to be Harry.
We would have given him something to do.
But they don't. Doctor gets karate chopped and they have a bit of a thing. And the doctor's move to best Steyer is he just grabs him and spins him really hard. He just spins in a circle. He just like pushes his shoulder and he goes, ah! And the doctor runs away. But he doesn't get very far before Steyer shoots him. And he passes out on a rock. Not dead. Why don't they just kill the doctor? That would make things so easy for them.
I don't get it. Why don't they just murder him?
The robot shows up with the captured hobos to the golf ball, and Steyer steps out of it and just goes,
okay, it is twice as long as what you did just now. It is too long. It is uncomfortably long that he makes that sound. Still longer than that. It's a really long time. And it's an interesting choice. I guess he's excited because he has more toys to experiment on. It is a really long time that he makes that hissing sound. A really long time.
I laughed super hard at it. Star's like, I'm going to put you under I'm going to experiment on you guys. And the one guy's like, hey, we had a deal.
No fair. I totally sold all of these guys out so you wouldn't experiment on me. And everyone else is like, what?
I think there was more to that in the original script. There was going to be more about that. And then they're just like, hey, we didn't have time for that.
This is a two-parter. Get this shit done.
But Harry comes back He finds the prisoner who's dead, right? And Steyer casually reports it. And, like, Harry, I think, is about to go after Steyer, but the doctor grabs him and stops him. You're not allowed to do things.
Because I was like, Harry Sullivan spent so much time just sort of wandering around the story. And he was about to, like, do a thing. And the doctor was like, nah, come here a minute.
I think they're like, I thought you were shot. And the doctor's like, oh, I shoved some shit in my pocket from the last cereal. I'm fine.
He also goes, that's why you should never throw anything away. And then tosses it away from him.
He specifically says it's like it's something from the Nerva colony thing. But yeah, that seemed a little convenient.
Sure. So he did shoot to kill.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
The doctor just is a hoarder and it saved him.
Okay.
Is that better or worse for you?
The doctor specifically says, like, I stuck it in there in case of an event just like this. Like, he knew he was going to get shot in that specific pocket.
How often has the doctor been shot at in his daily life?
Every time.
Okay. So it's not that convenient.
But the doctor's like, I've got a plan. I'm going to go do a thing. I don't remember what it is, but he goes to do it. Meanwhile, the two prisoners who are not traitorous are holding a piece of exercise equipment.
It is a gravity bar.
They're holding it above the other hobo guy, the guy who was the betrayer. And they're all, like, chained down. Like, I mean, they're able to stand up and hold the thing, but they have, like,
they're all
restrained.
Yeah.
So they can't, like, run away or anything.
And so the deal with this gravity bar is it can be set to, like, different weights. And so, like, they're holding it at, like, 10. And then he sets it to, like, 100 pounds and then 200 pounds. The Suntaran is like, why are you even trying to save that guy so bad? Like, he betrayed you guys. Just let him get squished.
Which is like, I think that's not how you do experiments. You observe. Yeah. You don't interfere.
That's true.
But yeah, it'll crush that guy.
So they're struggling as best they can to keep the prop from crushing him.
It looked like one of those, like, ab flex things. I don't know if you ever had one of those. Yeah. I think my parents had one. You just, like, shoop, shoop. You go shoop with it. But the doctor goes to the golf ball and is futzing around with stuff, I guess, but gets interrupted by the robot and starts talking to it like it's a small pupper.
The doctor reacts to the robot exactly like I would, where he's like, hello, friend. It's okay. I'm not gonna hurt you. I just want to check you out. What's happening, buddy? What's going on? And then I think he disarms it, disables it.
Yeah, with the sonic. But Steyer's like, leaves the prisoners to go call back into the other Suntarans. And the prisoners are like, there's a machete. Let's grab it so we can cut ourselves free. Which, that doesn't happen. It's mostly just to establish that there's a machete there for something that happens in a little bit. So the Suntarans are getting very impatient, like, the invasion cannot begin until you finish your experiments. And he's like, listen, I got three more to crush. And
I really like the idea that, like, this specific Suntaran is, one, like, turning his homework in really late, and two, these experiments are questionable. He's not really gaining a whole lot of data. He's mostly just fucking with people. And he's just
like, it's legitimately fucked up, but
yeah, no, totally. I mean,
but I don't see how it's, like, helpful for an invasion.
They definitely show him being like, well, this is how long, you know, human beings can last without water, and this is how long they can last without food. I could see how it's useful information. It's just that mostly, I feel like this guy is fucking around because, like, this is the only time he gets to, like, torture people.
And he's like, oh, it's science.
Yeah, he's holding up, like, the whole invasion plan. Otherwise, once he's done, he's got to go back to his day job of just, like, cleaning test tubes. That's who this Suntaran is.
Sounds legit.
It's definitely messed up.
Like, legitimately terrifying at points, too. It's like, just how casually he's, like, murdered these people is
disturbing, yeah.
But the doctor, he's reunited with Sarah and Harry, and is like, let's come up with a plan. Takes the stick away from Harry, who did nothing with it. All Harry's done is speak softly and carry that big stick. That's all.
The doctor says, all right, Harry, I got a project for you. And I'm like, finally, give the man something to do, for Christ's sake. He's just been, like, wandering around being like, oh, you need it? No? Don't need it? Okay. I mean, this isn't even the first serial he's done that in. This is probably the third serial he's done it in. But the doctor's going to give him a thing to do. And we don't get to see what that thing is. The doctor just is like, here's the thing.
What he says is, he's like, I'm going to go fight Steyer. And while I'm fighting Steyer, you guys can, well, first off, save the prisoners and then run into the ship and tells Harry, there's a thing in the ship I want you to take care of. There's a thing I want you to futz with. He doesn't say what it is. Yeah, but like, just,
there's a thing.
Which, give that mission to Sarah. I feel like Harry would fuck that up.
I mean, he didn't.
He didn't, but, you know. The doctor confronts Steyr and says, leave those prisoners alone. They are low class and I am high class, which seems like something the doctor would say. And this is when Steyr grabs the machete. They start fighting and it's neither one of them. But Sarah Jane and Harry come over and help move the gravity bar. Like, their powers combined, they can lift it. Which you were like, the device that controls it's right there. Why aren't they grabbing it?
They should just turn it off, toss it to the side.
But they help get it off, and then Harry runs to the golf ball. He has the sonic. He sonics the door open and goes inside.
And he comes back out with just...
a thing?
Yeah, some device.
The doctor specifically said, I'm going to tire him out, and he'll have to return to a ship to re-energize. So that's been set up, too.
Yeah.
I'm tiring him out. He's going to run back in. Also, like, I think a couple of the hobos get shot. They, like, try to save the doctor, and Steyr kills them. They're not... I didn't feel anything for them. They've been dickheads this entire serial, to be honest.
Well, and it's a two-parter. They didn't get super established as, you know, secondary characters go. They clearly didn't even bother to learn their names.
You know what? I think it might have been the leader guy. The guy that was the betrayer. I think maybe he came to save the doctor and got deaded. But Harry runs out of the thing carrying the whatever it is.
I'm trying to just think of just... to how to describe what it looks like. But it looks like if you had a bunch of craft supplies laying around and you're like, make a scientific looking unit.
There's like pipes and tubes and stuff.
That's about what it is.
The doctor has successfully tired out Steyr's, and Steyr's runs into... I keep saying Steyr's. I think it's just Steyr. He runs into his ship, which immediately, like, catches on fire.
And then the worst thing happens.
He comes stumbling out and falls down.
Ugh!
And he fucking deflates.
It's awful. It's so, so bad. Oh my gosh.
Literally, it's like they took the mask or whatever that he's wearing and they just sucked all the air out of it.
Oh, it shouldn't have disturbed me so much, but it did. I think for one, that's like not what I was expecting. What I was expecting was like a little explosion overlay and then for him to like not be there anymore. And like him physically deflating was so much worse.
The doctor tricked Harry into killing someone.
Okay, and here's the thing. It's not so bad except for that the show is like, Sarah Jane's like, what did you do? And the doctor's like, don't ask me, Harry did it. You can't put that on him. You definitely just tricked someone into murder.
But he also explains that, like, Steyr went in there to feed off this energy thing, but instead he basically reversed the polarity and the energy thing fed off of him. So it sucked his energy out, basically. Ugh. And then the doctor goes up to the golf
ball. This is my favorite thing, because Harry's kind of like, okay, well, that takes care of, like, the one guy. Isn't there a whole invasion that we have to worry about? And the doctor's like... I got it. And he just walks up and he's like, hey, other Santarin guy. And the other Santarin guy's like, what? He's like, I fucked up all your shit. Never come to Earth again. Thanks. And like, that's it.
And they're like, fair enough. Peace out. I believe the doctor calls it their Waterloo. And I bet the Santarin's like, what the fuck is a Waterloo? But they win. Hooray. Yeah. They return to the Transmat Globes. And they're like, do you guys want to go with us? And they're like, you go back and send a ship. We don't fuck with those transmats. And they're like, fair enough. And then they disappear. And then, like, the doctor reappears. What is it he says? It's a great line.
One of the guys is like, I don't trust those transmats. Because he's like, who knows how you're going to, like, pop out on the other end.
He says, I don't trust those transmat beams. They never work too good. And the doctor says... I mean, it should be all right, and they all disappear, and then the doctor reappears and says, but you never know quite, do you? And then disappears again. That is the end of the episode and the end of the serial. Two episodes. No TARDIS. Entirely on location. On video.
It's interesting. It's interesting. Yeah.
So we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back with our final thoughts.
We need to tape a promo, guys. If you had to encapsulate the roundtable in one catchphrasey kind of way, what would you say?
Rampant Glickery? Or Donkulous? let's not go with Shrek. That you know. The first one was good. The second one was great. After that, it kind of, you know.
Guys, promo. Stay on topic here. Okay. Stay on topic.
Stay on topic. Oh, no, I'm going in.
Stay on topic. Stay on topic.
Topic.
Red leader, I'm no, I'm sorry.
Stay on topic.
I can't say it. It's up to you, Red 5.
Oh, God.
Where's the promo,
so,
Luke?
Promo. The Round Table. Brought to you by Revolution SF. Tough love for sci-fi. Available at revolutionsf.com and iTunes.
And we're back.
Hey, welcome back.
You know what time it is?
A little afternoon.
Noon? Are you kidding me? It's 8:42 p.m.
I wanted to make a joke, but didn't know what time it was, and just said...
You guessed noon?
No, I didn't. I just said the first time that came to mind, as opposed to trying to figure out what time it was.
Tony, it's time for final thoughts.
Okay.
Final thoughts.
Okay, I have a couple of things. Mostly, like, we've had Harry Sullivan now as a companion for 3 serials. And I know a lot of people have been like, everyone always leaves out Harry Sullivan. It's, you know, everyone's always like, yeah, Sarah Jane and the Fourth Doctor. That's like the best TARDIS team. And actually, Harry Sullivan's like with them for a lot of that time. I feel like part of the reason why that is because for this 3 serials that we've had Harry Sullivan, he's not done much. I don't know if it's a problem where, like, the writers don't know what to do with him. Actor's doing a fine enough job.
You know what the thing is, right?
What?
They thought, they didn't know that Tom Baker was going to be so young, so they created this character to be the action guy or whatever, the younger action guy. They were kind of expecting an older doctor, and they didn't get that. They got Tom Baker. So Harry Sullivan became kind of redundant.
Then they didn't know what to do with him. And that's very, it's very apparent that they don't know what to do with him. The point that he's just sort of, Harry Sullivan's also there. Like, the story forget. I mean, this is a two-parter. He shouldn't disappear for long stretches at a time. It's only 2 episodes and still, like, you know, the plot's going on and all of a sudden Harry Sullivan will show back up and you'd be like, oh shit, this guy's here. I feel kind of bad for him. Because there are times, you know, where he has some good lines and some good scenes and he's genuinely funny. But he'll just disappear for like 5 minutes and he's like the silence. Unless you're looking at him, you forget that he exists. Poor thing. Other than that, it was refreshing to have a two-parter just because of the way that we do these. We watch them all usually in one night because we want to do the live stream. And we got done and I was like, shoot, what else you guys want to do? I know some people who do the watch through like we do try to do it like close to when it actually would have aired, so they like watch like one a week. I bet that's awesome. And like on the one hand, because you're never like, I just watched a 10-parter and now I'm gonna die, but I can't do it.
Yeah, I feel like that'd be, I don't know, because especially like when you're watching a 6-parter and it's like, oh, this is so slow. Like, I can't imagine dragging that out.
I mean, I think it's better because you're not sitting through it and watching it all in one go. So you're not like, wow, the pacing is all off because I'm watching it all the way through all at once. You're watching individual episodes, which are more, you know, they flow better as the thing that they are. But it's a fun, quick one. I'm really interested in the direction the show is going in where they all seem to be like it's just one big long day. It seems like it's going to be. Sarah Jane had a really cute outfit. There was a cute robot. I like the sort of update on the Centauran makeup. I don't like hearing stories where people get hurt during filming. I want everyone to be safe and okay. Please be careful when you're making things for me to enjoy. Otherwise, I have to worry about you.
You know, some of them are dead now, right?
Well, of course they are. It's so dangerous. I can't remember what DVD we were watching, but it was something with, I think it was like a special feature. I can't remember who or like what they did, but they were talking about how, you know, there's all these like safety restrictions now. And it's like, we did so much dumb, dangerous shit because it was just like how you did it. And I'm like, be safe, be careful. I'm so glad we have lots of safety restrictions now. I don't want anyone getting hurt. I don't know. Just even the idea of it stresses me out. I don't know. I'm sorry. I don't know why. It just does. I know it happened like a long time ago, but I'm upset about it now.
Well, you just heard about it.
I did. Right now, it's brand new for me. Just happened. Yeah, there's not much to say. Because it's a quick little story. It's interesting enough on its own. Probably not like, you know, top serials or anything, but pretty good.
I agree. I liked it. I mean, I'm so glad. I mean, I wish we had more two-parters. Because they go by so much faster. Even still, I feel like the fact that they left the Sontaran as a cliffhanger, like the reveal, like they could have just had him earlier on and just spread that out a bit more. They didn't need an entire episode of setup, I feel like, necessarily.
Especially since they know they're going to name the episode the Sontaran whatever.
Experiment.
Yeah.
Because he's doing
I'm just saying.
Yeah.
They know that that's what it's going to get named. It's never going to be a reveal.
When you call it, this is the thing. And then you're like, surprise, it's the thing. It doesn't work quite so well.
Yeah.
But I mean, it is like, oh, hey, it's a new design. Yeah, I pretty much agree with you. It's fun. I liked Sarah Jane was good. The Doctor was good. Harry sort of stumbled around. There are some interesting ideas peppered throughout it. I actually felt like it maybe could have used a little more development here and there. It was almost a little too light at times. I don't entirely know if it being all filmed on location was that great.
I thought they did some interesting handheld shots and stuff.
I mean, but there's not like a variety of locations.
That's true. That's fair.
It's all just grassy hill. That's basically the entirety of it. It could have maybe used a few different places. Overall, I enjoyed it. Thought it was pretty good. I liked it. It's fun filler, but it's good.
It's just a little bit of fluffy filler. And I think that's because we're coming up on like a really solid serial next.
The novelization of this episode is written by Ian Martyr, who played Harry Sullivan.
Aw, bless.
So as much flack as we've been giving him, I guess he's a fan.
And really need to reiterate, I don't think he's doing a bad job.
No, I think it's mostly just that they don't know what to do with
him. He's not been given anything to do.
Other than be kind of a douchebag occasionally.
Yeah.
I think that's it. I think those are my final thoughts. I liked it.
Yeah.
Before I do my spiel, let's do some plugs real quick. First off, I want to say check out jbhivemind.com for The Princess and the Pterodactyls and maybe some future other books. And keep an eye out for the A Fistful of Pistols, which played at the Chattanooga Film Festival and might be playing elsewhere. Who knows?
Anything is possible.
And there's a new thing we're going to be doing. We are a part of the ESO Network, and they have a Patreon now. And for $5 a month, there's going to be bonus podcasts on the ESO Network Patreon from all of the various shows on the ESO Network. We are one of them. So we're going to be doing some little mini bonus episodes. If you are a patron of our Patreon, you'll still get those at the $5 level.
Mm-hmm.
The ESO Network Patreon is going to get it a week before we put it up on our Patreon.
So if you listen to a bunch of other shows on the ESO Network and like really want to specifically support all of them, then donating to that is a cool and good thing. If you're want to just donate to our Patreon and still get those, you still can do that.
Yeah, we don't want to exclude it from you guys. But like I said, if you do it through ESO, you'll be getting it a week early. What we're planning on doing is, I don't know how much you're going to be doing it. It might be more just a me thing, because just time and energy.
You have more, interest.
Yeah, I've sort of been reading spinoff stuff like the comic strips and novelizations and stuff like that, the annuals and things like that. I mean, all I've done is like the First Doctor stuff, so I'm probably going to be doing like little mini episodes about those. So like the comic strips where the First Doctor has two grandchildren.
I actually do want to read those with you.
Yeah,
those look way fun.
But yeah, so we'll be doing little mini episodes about that. I don't know how often Tony will be on them, but she'll probably be there for some. I'll definitely be doing a lot of them. So
I told him I would make an effort to
I don't really expect you to do like novelizations.
Okay, because I'm not going to.
So keep an eye out for that. It'll be on the ESO Network Patreon, which I think is patreon.com/ESO Network. And it'll be up a week later on our Patreon, which is patreon.com/watchathon. Speaking of that stuff, I'm just going to go ahead and segue into our little end spiel. If you liked this episode, you can check out more on watcherassalon.com. Also, be sure to rate and comment on our iTunes. It's very helpful, and we like seeing what you guys have to say. Thank you very much for all of your kind thoughts so far.
They help us get seen. They help more people find us. And also, it makes me really happy whenever we see a new one. So thank you.
And if you'd like to help us out even more, you can go to watcherassalon.com/support
And there you'll find a link to our Patreon page, which again you can get to just by going to patreon.com/watchathon. And there you can donate a monthly amount to get all kinds of rewards, like day early episodes, uncut video of the podcast records, bonus podcasts, and live streams of us watching the episodes.
We do occasionally send out links for our lower level patrons so that they can join us on the live stream. It's $15 if you want to just be like guaranteed that, but sometimes we do like this post and we'll give out a few links to the lower levels because it's super fun. The more people we have, the more fun it is.
Also on our support page is a link to our Amazon wish list where you can sponsor an episode of the podcast by purchasing the corresponding serial on DVD for us. We'll mention you in the podcast and put your name on our Friends of Rassilon page. And also, I generally will let you in on the live stream because you bought us the DVD. Speaking of, we did that with Ian McLean. So special thanks again to Ian McLean for sponsoring this episode and getting us this DVD. Thank you so much.
Bless you, sir.
Tune in next time when we talk about Genesis of the Daleks.
I'm excited for that.
With a new guest, Lainey Henderson.
Wait, really?
Mm-hmm.
Yay!
She is in the roller derby and her, I think her roller derby name is Lex Terminate. So, you know she's a Doctor Who fan.
She's invited me to a roller derby practice.
And you're going to roller derby, right?
And I'm going to go and see if I like it.
When is it? Tuesday?
Tuesday. And I guess if I like it, I'm going to need to come up with a roller derby name. Oh!
you guys submit some roller derby names
for me!
Yeah.
I'm thinking I want something with... I know you're probably going to submit a lot of Doctor Who related things, that's fair. I would like something with, like, void or cryptid in the title because that's my general aesthetic.
I was suggesting a void.
I think I was actually thinking like a asterisk void.
Yeah. Well, I was thinking like your name's Antoinette. So a and your last name's void. Like Antoinette Void. Sorting to a void.
A void.
You want to avoid her because you're terrifying.
Because I'm so scary. We'll see. I might show up and then realize that I don't even know how to skate and then have to go home forever and forget about it. But you should still submit me roller derby names. That would be amazing, amazing, amazing.
And we'll see you next time. Keep calm and wrestle on.
Bye.
Atomic clocks, war quartz clocks, grandfather clocks.
Still lying.
Shut up, Eric.
Cuckoo clocks.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network. Be part of the crew and help support our shows by donating to our ESO Patreon or by shopping through Amazon.com or the TeePublic store, which can all be found at www.esonetwork.com. The ESO Network, your station for all things geek.